My message this morning's title is, When You Can't Catch Your Breath in Life. When you can't catch your breath in life. Paul said these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were oppressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word as we consider this topic of being overwhelmed in life, when we can't catch our breath in life. Lord, I pray that you would guide us through your word. And I thank you for your word, which is truth, and I thank you for the Spirit of God that confirms your word to our hearts. Lord, bless me as I speak your word here this morning. May I honor your word and your son. Lord, be glorified and honored, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Some years ago, there was a Christian named Watchman Nee, and he was in China, and he was speaking at an assembly, and the accommodations that they were staying at in China were very primitive, and there's a group of 20 people that were with him, and so they went down to the river to bathe, the men did. And there was one fellow that went into the river, and he got a little too far out, and the currents and the undercurrents caught him and took him out, and the only problem was he couldn't swim. And he got out in the river, and Watchman Nee saw him hauling. Watchman Nee wasn't a good swimmer himself, but one of his other people that were with him was a good swimmer. And they saw the man crying for help out there. He's going down, and Watchman Nee looked at his friends and said, "Go get him." And the guy stood there like this and did like this. And Watchman Nee said, "What are you doing? The guy's drowning." And he wouldn't go. And Watchman Nee said, "You hear him?" And the guy was going up and down, up and down. And finally he went down, and you thought to yourself, he's not coming back up. And at that time, that guy jumped in the river, swam out and grabbed him and brought him back in. And Watchman Nee was furious. He said, "Why did you do that? That guy could have drowned. He could have died." And his friend that was a good swimmer said, "Watchman Nee, the reason I didn't go out, because if I went out immediately, he would have put a death grip on me, and we both would have went down. And he had to go down that he might come up and live. Because until he went down for the last time, that's when I had to get him." Do you think that man in the river was overwhelmed? Do you know what I'm saying? He was overwhelmed. And you ever feel that way? You ever feel like you got the sentence of death in yourself? Paul felt that way, that a trouble that came to them in Asia, they were pressed out of measure. In Psalm 61, David says these words here. Psalm 61, turn there this morning. Psalm 61, verse 1. He says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." Just stop there for a minute. You know, David had this point in his life where his heart was just overwhelmed. In other words, he had more on him than he had in him to bear it up. He was overwhelmed. He was crushed. He was carrying a load that he couldn't carry anymore. He was at that point that he was overwhelmed. You know, if we live long enough in this world, we're going to have a point we're overwhelmed. Because sin has crushed this world, and sin has ruined this world. Now, how do people feel overwhelmed? What brings them to that point? I remember James Dobson sharing the story about his family. His dad was a Nazarene evangelist. And his mom was a faithful, godly woman. His dad served the Lord. James Dobson's dad served the Lord his whole life, died. And his mom grieved over the loss of her husband. And she grieved to such a point that she was bedridden. She missed her husband so deeply. That's a loss. Do you feel overwhelmed when you have a loss? Sure you do. Sure you do. Because it's a loss. God says the two shall be what? One flesh. It's like tearing a piece of paper in half. Half of it's gone. It's meant to be one. You know, you can be overwhelmed by the loss of a loved one that you love dearly. How else can people be overwhelmed? How about the loss of a job? You know, men get their identity in what they do. Two men, they meet each other for the first time. Inevitably, within the first few moments, comes out, what do you do for work? Two ladies meet each other. Inevitably, within the first few moments, how many children do you have? It just is inevitable. Women are relational. Men, they get identity by what they do. And all of a sudden, you've worked somewhere 20, 30 years. I remember here in Hershey, the old plant right there in Hershey, when it got torn, I met a man one time. I've been 40 years in that building, and they tore it down. He lost a little bit of his identity. He said he worked in that building 40 years, and they tore it down. Part of his identity went with each dump truck that hauled stuff out of there. You know, men identify what they do, and when all of a sudden they get laid off. Now, you have all these corporate mergers today, and you know what happens? All these people get shuffled around, and sometimes, like banks, you ever had your bank merge? It's almost like, what's the name of my bank going to be next week? You know what I'm saying? They change names so often. But like, we deal with Northwest Bank, where they merged and they bought out another bank here in town. But one of the agreements was, when they bought out another bank, was that you had to keep these employees. Because that's what happens oftentimes, mergers. Employees go when people merge. You know, loss of a job, you know, that can be devastating for somebody. How about being overwhelmed with a major decision in life? Do I buy this house? Do I not buy this house? Where do I go to college at? Do I have this medical procedure done or not? Do I let it go? Do I have it? You know, a major decision in life can overwhelm you. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. How about financial problems? Does that get your attention sometimes? Can you feel overwhelmed with financial? I talked to a man one time. He told me he had a business. He used to carry $500,000 in debt. He said, in my business, I had $500,000 in debt. And he had to work for years to get out from under that. Is that a burden? Can that be overwhelming to have debt problems? Sure it can be. How about just having a major health issue? As we get older, it's like, I think it was John Adams, I believe, when he was getting older, and somebody was telling him he has various health issues, and somebody was talking about his health issues. And he said to this person, he says, you know, the landlord of this tenant, John Adams speaking about his body, the landlord of this body doesn't appear he's going to be making any renovations anytime soon. And I thought that was a good way to say it, because really the landlord is who? God. And sometimes he doesn't make renovations because he wants to call us home. But can that be an overwhelming factor for you in your life? Sure it can be. You know, life can be overwhelming at times. And you know, sometimes it's not even your problems. Do you ever have a son or a daughter that's having major problems, and you are so close to them that their problems become your problems, and you feel overwhelmed? All of a sudden you draw their problems into your world, and you feel overwhelmed because, you know, they should do this or they should do that, and they don't do it, and they've got this problem and that problem. What do we do when we experience life when it's overwhelming? David said here, he said, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. God, I don't care how far I feel like I'm far from thee, I want to cry to thee when my heart is overwhelmed. You know, being overwhelmed is part of life. Now, before we get into what the Bible says, I just want to talk about here, a little bit this morning. What is the world's answer when somebody's overwhelmed? What's the world's answer? Take a what? Pill. Or take a vacation. That might work too. Yeah, that's a good thought, Dan. It wasn't where I was heading, but now we know what Dan and Cindy do when they feel overwhelmed. Hey, take a vacation. That might work. But what the world does sometimes, they medicate people. If you have a young child that's misbehaving, what do often they do? They put them on Ritalin. And what does that do? It just zones them out. I've talked to young children. They're like a zombie. They have this glazed look in their eyes. They're sitting there in class, but they're somewhere else because they're all drugged up. Are they quiet? Yeah, they're quiet, but they're all zoned out. Is that where we go when we're overwhelmed in life? You know, what's their answer? They medicate the problem just to numb the feelings. You know, sometimes when people are having overwhelmed in life, say like you got a husband and wife that are fighting and they're not getting along and there's tension, stress, and division in the home. You know, sometimes a man will just pursue another relationship. He just checks this one off and he just goes somewhere else. You know, sometimes when you feel overwhelmed in life, you know, the world says just drop that relationship and move on. Sometimes, you know what the world's answer is? Eastern religion. How about yoga and meditation? That's even in some churches. I've seen them advertise yoga classes at church. You know, it comes right out of Eastern religion. And basically, you look inward to try to find answers for your problems. You kind of zone out, you relax, and you kind of just remove yourself from the problems of the world and your problems. Is that the answer for the Christian to pursue yoga classes? Is that biblical? You know, sometimes when people feel overwhelmed, say like there's financial problems in a home, and somebody will say, well, I just need to work harder. Or the wife may go to work, or they both may work harder. But you know, sometimes that's not the answer because you just perpetuate more problems. Because if a wife has children at home and the husband is gone 60, 70, 80 hours a week, what is the wife left to work with in the home? An absentee husband. You know, sometimes to work harder isn't the answer. The world says if you got a financial problem, just work harder. What's the world's answer sometimes? I saw a man one time, and I'm telling you exactly what he said. He had a little boy that was misbehaving, and he was in a crowd of people. This was in a church setting, and he was in a crowd of people, and his boy was just embarrassing him to death. And he yelled at his son, he said, son, I got a $20 bill if you'll just start behaving. I thought to myself, that's not an answer. Okay? That's not an answer. When you feel overwhelmed and embarrassed that your child isn't behaving, that you're going to bribe them into doing right. Because guess what? Next time it's going to take you $40 to get that boy to behave. He'll figure that routine out pretty fast. You're not going to win like that. You know, that's not an answer. You know, the world throws out so many different solutions. But for the Christian, when we feel overwhelmed, what do we do? Because reality, we can feel overwhelmed sometimes. Is there any good that can come out of feeling overwhelmed? Is there any good that, what do we do? Is there anybody in Scripture that has ever felt overwhelmed? David has. He said, I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Now, what do we do as believers? Is there any answers? Any hope? There's some very practical things we can do, but let's look at some Bible characters. Take Jacob for a moment. What did his boys do to him concerning his son Joseph? And they brought back news that your son is dead. Is this his coat? Is this his coat? You know, with the blood on it? Is this his? And you know, do you remember what Jacob said? He said, all these things be what? Against me. And he just felt so crushed. He lost his son, and I just suspect somewhere along the line, he knew his sons weren't telling him the truth. And they all tried to comfort their dad. And I remember Spurgeon saying what miserable comforters there was. Because they were the ones that did Joseph in. And they're trying to comfort. Dad, it'll be okay. And they were the ones that, I think he just knew somewhere deep down, this doesn't make sense. But he couldn't prove it. But he just said, all these things be against me. How about Joseph himself when he was put in prison? And remember how God worked in the situation. The butler and the baker came in and they told their dreams and he gave them the interpretation. He said, just remember me before Pharaoh. Tell Pharaoh, get me out of this place. How long did he stay in there? Two more what? Years. Do you think he might have felt a little overwhelmed? Where is God in all this? He had his hopes up here that this was going to work out in some kind of way. How about Peter when he walked on the water? Pretty good deal, wasn't it? Lord, if that's you, bid me come on the water. Come. He's walking on the water. All of a sudden he saw the winds and the wave and sank like a rock. He had a little prayer. A little prayer. Lord, what? Help me. Lord, save me. That's a pretty short prayer. Right to the point. Lord, save me. Because he was going down. Overwhelmed. How about John in the book of Revelation? Where was he at when he wrote the book of Revelation? On the Isle of what? Patmos. A prisoner. Banished there by Rome. Think he might have felt a little forsaken? But he said on the Lord's day, the Spirit of God caught him up. You know, there's people, you go all through the Bible, and there's people. Oh, we haven't even touched on some of them. How about Jonah? Is he in the belly of the whale? In the belly of the whale, that's a tongue twister, say that three times fast. And when he was there, how do you think he felt? Was he felt a little overwhelmed? When he said he had seaweed wrapped around his head, do you think he felt a little overwhelmed? I think so. How about Job? He feel overwhelmed? He sure did. You know, if you feel overwhelmed in life, there's a lot of people in Scripture that you can identify with. Now, with being overwhelmed, whether you're David in Psalm 61, whether you're Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, let's just look at David here for a minute. When David felt overwhelmed, he said in verse 1, hear my what? Cry. Stop there. Parents, middle of the night, you're resting peacefully. And all of a sudden, your sweet, dear baby in the other room lets out this blood-curdling cry. Does that get your attention? Is a cry different than, help me? Okay? A cry is what? A little more urgent? A little more, I need you like now? A cry is something that you want immediate attention. You know, a cry is much more intense and it's much more needy, a cry. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. He wanted to get a hold of God and he wanted God to hear him from the ends of the earth. God, I may feel far from you, but I'm going to cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, what does he say to God? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, you feel way down here, okay? And you know what? David's saying, I feel down here, God, but you lead me up higher to the rock. Now, what is a rock symbolic of in Scripture? Stability? Jesus told the wise man to build his house upon what? A rock. Now, I've said this before in different ways. Even in that passage, wise man and the foolish man. What is sand but small pieces of what? A rock. And if you just build your life around a little bit of this scripture and a little bit of that, just pieces of scripture, you don't take the whole counsel of God and you don't do what, you don't get the rock, you just get the sand, you're going to fall. Because you need all of God. You need the rock, not just sand, not just pieces of scripture. You need the whole thing, that rock. Lead me to a rock that is higher than I. You appeal to a higher power that is God when you feel overwhelmed. Your attention. Now, Jonah was overwhelmed. Did God get Jonah's attention? Did God get Jonah's attention? Yes. Absolutely. So his being overwhelmed was what to God? It was a design mechanism so that his attention would be turned back to him. Because where did Jonah want to go to? He wanted to go to Joppa. He wanted to go the other way. He wanted to go east, and God was telling him to, he wanted to go, yeah, this way, and he was supposed to go that way, if you're looking at the map. Okay. And, he was going the exact opposite. And God got his attention. No, so with being overwhelmed, you know what you need to do? You have to make an assessment here. If you, whatever the situation is, being overwhelmed, is God trying to get my attention? Now, can God get your attention in financial ways? Okay? In the Old Testament, there's a verse. He talks about the children of Israel having holes in their bags. In other words, they put stuff into their bag, and it's just like they got holes in it. It's just falling right out. As fast as they put it in, it's falling out. And what is God saying? He says, if you're not listening to me and doing things my way, sometimes you're going to feel overwhelmed because I'm going to make your life so unbearable that no matter what you put in your bag, it's like a hole, and it's just going right away from you, and you're not going to keep a thing. And I think sometimes when we're overwhelmed, David is appealing, God, higher than I, don't just let me look at my ways. I want to see your ways. Because verse 3 says, thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Whatever we're feeling overwhelmed with, we have to do things God's way. Because if we're overwhelmed and we're living like Jonah, I guarantee you, nothing's going to work out. Nothing. I don't care how hard you work. I don't care what you do. If you're not right with God and your family's not right with God, no matter what you do, it's not going to work out for you. Because guess what? God's got a bigger plan for you because he wants you to be like him. And if you're not wanting to be like him, he's going to work on you till you want to be like him. Now, I heard Tony Evans say this one time. I have said this, and I never quite got it the way Tony Evans explained it. I used to say, God will never put more on you than he puts in you to bear it up. That is a true statement. But Tony Evans said, that's only true if you're right with God. And I thought about that. That's so right. Because God will put more on you than he puts in you if you're not right with God. Because he doesn't want you to be going the wrong way from him, like Jonah. Jonah was overwhelmed. He didn't know what to do. I mean, he's got the storm in the sea, and finally, it got to the point they just threw him overboard. Bloop! Right over the side of the ship they went. Threw him right over. And if you're overwhelmed in life, you have to do an evaluation. God, don't let presumptuous sins have what? Dominion over me. What's a high-handed sin? That's what presumption, that means a high-handed sin. It means it's in God's face. And David said, don't let me do that, God. We looked at this in Sunday school. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and what? Desperately wicked. Who can what? Know it. And you may evaluate yourself apart from being totally broken before God and saying, God, is there anything in my life? I've got all these problems. I'm overwhelmed. Is there anything in my life that's not right with you? And then you just wait on God and just say, God, I'm begging you. Don't let me go down this road if this isn't what you want from me. Because people sometimes are overwhelmed because they're not right with God, like Jonah. Now, the exact opposite can be. Turn to 2 Corinthians here. Paul, here, Jonah was overwhelmed because God was chastening him. Paul said, verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch as we despaired even of life." And how bad did it get? Verse 9, "We had the sentence of death in ourselves." In other words, now, he doesn't really explain what happened. But you get the picture. Whatever happened here, he looked this way, he looked that way, he looked up, he looked down, he looked back, he looked forward. Everywhere he looked, he said, "There's no way out of this. We have the sentence of death, and we're going to die here. We're done." I mean, being overwhelmed. Now, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of what? Of Christ." He was bold for the Lord. And you know what? Somebody once said, for Paul, when he went into a city, either there was a revival or they put him in jail. Because he made things happen. And for him, whatever happened in Asia here, it was bad. It was so bad. He was overwhelmed. But what did he say in verse 9? Now, for Jonah, he was overwhelmed because God was trying to get his attention. For Paul, God had a lesson here that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. It was so bad, Paul just resigned and said, "God, if you call me home, you call me home. This looks so bad, you're going to have to raise me from the dead because I don't see any way out of this. I don't see no way out of this." But what, you know, what Paul was saying? He's saying, "God, I trust you." And sometimes God will put you out on a limb just so you trust him, that he's God and God alone. God says, "I am a jealous God, and I'll have no other gods before me." And sometimes if we get idols or things in our heart, that sometimes God will just kick everything out from under us. Boom, 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 boom. Just so we know he's God and we depend on him and him alone. And that's what Paul found. He said, "I learned that I shouldn't trust in myself and my resources because I'm leaning on God. I trust not in my own self," not to trust in ourselves, "but in God." And sometimes God will let you get overwhelmed so that you say, "Lord," now in the Christian life, you have salvation, you have surrender, you have sanctification, you have service. We get saved, and sometimes God wants us to surrender. What does that mean? What did Jesus pray in the garden? "Not my will, but what? Thy will be done." Surrender. God wants us to be surrendered. Why? Because we're a vessel he can use then. You know, there's a term in the Old Testament called a stiff-necked person. What's the imagery there? If a horse is stiff-necked, what does that mean? You got the reins, and if they're stiff-necked, what does that mean? When you pull the reins, the horse just pulls back on you. You can't steer the horse. He's stiff-necked. Now what you do, you want him to go left or right, he won't obey you. That's a stiff-necked horse. God says people are stiff-necked. I want them to turn this way or that way. They won't do it. God wants us to surrender. We don't trust in ourselves. We give ourselves completely to God. We get saved. We get surrendered. We sanctify ourselves. We get the sin out, and we serve God. And for Paul, he just trusts in him. "I totally surrender you, God. Whatever you want, that's what I'll do." D.L. Moody, one time, he said there was a funeral in Chicago. Thousands of people. I don't know who passed away in the streets. And you know how D.L. Moody was? He looked out of the crowd and says, "I've got to do something here." And somebody said to him, the story went something like this, that, "What are you going to do, D.L. Moody?" He goes, "I don't know. God's telling me to do something. If God told me to jump out this window, I'd jump out that window if God told me to do that." And he sat there, and God put in his mind, what he did was he got Ira Sankey, And they put him on a, got out in the street where all these thousand people with this person that passed away. And he said, Ira, get up on this platform here and start singing. So Ira just started singing away, just him. And after, you know, 3, 4, 5 people, 6 people, 10, 20, 30, started just listening to this guy singing away, just singing, this, no music accompaniment, just started belting it out. And then after he got a crowd, 50 people maybe, 100 maybe, there was a movie theater. While he was singing, D.L. Moody went over to the movie theater and told the owner, said, sir, can I use your movie theater here? He says, what do you mean? He says, can I rent this movie theater? And the guy said, well, sure. I mean, there's nobody here, but he's at the funeral. He said, great. So he went back out there and he told the crowd, D.L. Moody said, follow me into the theater. And so I had this big crowd, just follow him into the theater. And you know what? He started preaching to them. What does it mean to be surrendered? That means in the middle of what you're doing, if God says to you, there's a crowd of people out there who need the gospel. You get Ira, make him sing. You get that theater. Boom, 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 boom. Before D.L. Moody said, he had a crowd of people he was preaching to. You know, Paul said here, I don't trust in myself. I want to do what God wants me to do. I've come to this point. I don't trust in myself, my wisdom. I'm going to do it God's way. If God said it, I'm going to do it. And sometimes God will put you way out there just so you learn to trust in God and not yourself and to do things God's way. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and does, that's the past, and does deliver, that's the present, in whom we trust, yet he will deliver, that's the future. Do you see that in verse 10? You got the past, you got the present, you got the future. God's got you covered when you're overwhelmed. You look back in the past, God's got you covered. In the present, if you feel overwhelmed, God's got you covered. In the future, if you feel overwhelmed, he will yet deliver us. God's got you covered. God's got your number. He knows when you feel overwhelmed as a believer. Now, in this verse 11 here, Paul thinks about something else here that blessed him during this time. He says, ye also helping together by what for us? Prayer. Now, in this church family here, there are some people that have had a tough time. And I want TBC Bible Church to be a covering for people who are overwhelmed in life. You know, I want us to cover each other in prayer. Why do we have Wednesday night prayer meeting? Because we pray for one another. Why do we have a prayer sheet so people know how to pray? Paul said, as he was going through that, talking about what God done for him in verse 10, then he turned around and thought, ye also helping together by prayer for us. You know, there's some people out on the front lines, like Nate shared, Jeff and Lisa Mayfield, they got their sights on the mission field. Should we be praying for them? Absolutely. You know what Satan would like to do to a young couple that has a bright future? He'd like to cut their legs out of them if he could and discourage them, make them feel overwhelmed, make them feel like, we can't do this thing. Anybody moved lately? Is that an easy thing to do? That's hard to move. And here they moved all the way down to Texas in the language school. Then they're going to move to the mission field. You know, it just, all these changes in their lives. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. And I'm just sharing a little thing. There's a pastor in Middletown. I sent him a text here this morning. And I told him, hey, I'm praying for you this morning. On my way into church here, so I prayed for him. Nancy and I prayed together. Driving in, we prayed. I prayed. I take a look at that. Hey, you know, I prayed for you this morning. He sent back, thank you so much. Because you know what? I want people praying for me. And I can't hardly ask people pray for me if I'm not praying for others. But I wanted that to be an encouragement to him because he may probably never even thought that I was praying for him this morning. But I sent him that little text saying, I'm praying for you. And you know, we should encourage each other because some people do feel overwhelmed. And they do feel crushed. But God's people can rally around them and encourage and strengthen them. You helping together by prayer for us, that that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Being overwhelmed. I almost think I need to move this into next week too, because there's so much more that can be said here about being overwhelmed. And I'll just touch a little note here, and then we'll kind of bring it in for a close. But sometimes, you know what, people feel overwhelmed just because physically and emotionally they're just drained. And God says 1 in 7 days should be a day of what? A rest. God made you that way. These people that work 7 days a week, you're a train wreck in the happening. You cannot emotionally, physically, relationally just go, because you're going to burn out at some point. And God gives us rest. And that's another whole topic in itself. But sometimes people get overwhelmed because they're depleted. They have no margin in their life. What is margin? Why does God build margin in our lives for? Because the unexpected happens. And the unexpected can hit us when we don't expect it. And that's why you have margin. Why do we have savings account? It gives us what margin in our finances. Because guess what? Cars break what? Down. And they what? Wear out. And you need a new car. But if you have zero resources, guess what your stress level does? Zoom! It goes out through the roof because you say, how can I do this thing? You know, God, in very practical ways, this book is very practical in dealing with being overwhelmed in life. In Psalm 61, David says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Let's pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, as we close here in prayer this morning, I pray, Lord, that as some of us that feel overwhelmed in life, whether being a mother or whether being a father and providing, Lord, we have those moments that we can feel overwhelmed. And I pray, God, that as we live, that we would live with the resources of God upon us and flowing through us, that we position ourselves that we can have the resources of God in our lives. And Lord, we cry out to thee. And Lord, I pray a covering of blessing and help, of encouragement, of strength for those that are feeling overwhelmed in life, whether it's a physical issue, whether it's a relational issue, whether it's an issue of loss of a loved one. I pray, God, that you would strengthen and sustain and minister to those that are feeling overwhelmed in life. God, you're our hope and our strength. And Lord, set us upon that rock that is higher than us, the rock of Christ, that, Lord, that we may learn and lean upon him. Lord, Jesus says that we shall find rest for our souls, that we, Lord, that we can draw near to you, that you will help us in our times of being overwhelmed. So thank you, God, for being our God, and that we can cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.